It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, I admit it. I totally screwed up tonight's episode because I'm always in the frame of mind of going live 10:05, 11:05. I didn't realize that I had the start time for tonight's episode. I put 10:05, and literally 2 minutes before I went live, I started getting couple of DMs and a few people in the chat room like, wait, are you starting now or are you starting at 10:05? And I looked and I'm like, oh, fuck. So people stop by. Hey, he ain't going live till 10 o'clock, so I'll come back later. So expect a much more intimate audience interpretation, very small audience live tonight, but it's all good. It's all good. This sit-down featuring yours truly, you know, kind of fucked up my intro also because I actually was going to put a little shout-out. That's all I could show you. I'll give you a hint. Jake Hager. We'll save that for Monday night. By the way, Monday night, don't forget, after Raw, we will be here live at 11:05 p.m. doing this is the final Raw before Christmas. No, I don't think that Vince will be there. Yeah, he wants to know if you are naughty or nice. So, how's everybody doing? Hope your weekend was great. Again, my apologies for everyone who I know is going to come back here at 10 o'clock and see that the show is already done, and they're going to be like, what the fuck, man? You said you were going live at 10 o'clock tonight. I know, I screwed up. Totally screwed up. All right, so let's get right into the sit down. For those that are newer to the show, every Sunday night for an hour or two, we basically just have conversation. Kind of like a Q&A live, but it's a little bit more deeper than that. Anything that is on your mind, we will get into. If you're in the chat room and you type in capital letters the word question, this way I could spot your question a little bit quicker. I will get into it. If you have a comment that you want to share with everyone, then just write the word comment. As always, super chats are not required, but are very much appreciated. Helps more with the show than you think. And they will always get VIP priority treatment on these shows. And I want to thank everyone, as always, for your support. And, you know, I know a few of you like to send in your super chats before I go live, so it's one of the first topics to be discussed of the night. And Big Sal, you are no different. And why is it not coming up? Oh, God. Here we go again. Dun, 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 dun. All right. I don't know why it's not coming up. You know what? It probably is waiting for 10:05 p.m. All right. Well, I just fixed that. So we're good to go. But anyway, I'll read what he actually sent me earlier. I know those that are live could see it right now. It says, Merry Christmas, Don Tony. And by the way, thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. I know you used to hate Jim Cornette, but are now a fan. Putting aside his managerial career, is he good for wrestling today? Or is he more of a problem with his outdated views? Have to enlarge this as I go along, and excessive whining. So Jim Cornette, putting aside his managerial career in 2022, is he good for wrestling or is he a problem? Outdated views, excessive hate. My honest opinion about Jim Cornette's views in 2022, yes, a lot of them are very much outdated, but, you know, put it this way, you want lifelong wrestling fans. You want lifelong wrestling personalities, characters, people who have contributed to this beautiful, entertaining sport that we all love. You want those people around. There are not many Jim Cornettes that after, what, 50 years, you know, being a wrestling fan and being in the wrestling business for over 40, you know, to still have that love and passion for pro wrestling. You have to respect that man. I mean, I know he doesn't like, you know, the Kenny Omegas and that. And listen, you know, I totally get why he says it. I'm not as extreme in his views, but you want people like that in wrestling, let alone a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest managers of all time. So even though he may not like a lot of the contemporary pro wrestling, but you look at different forms of entertainment, from the music world to movies, you know, it changes and styles change and things get very much different to what it used to be. And a lot of us, we like to hold on to yesteryear. Even in baseball, you see like time clocks and shit like that. I don't like any of that stuff. And honestly, I used to grow up watching baseball, and I remember even in the 90s, you know, with the Maguire-Sosa, you know, home run chase. I mean, sure, it was a lot of steroids involved, but the point is that, you know, the games went long, and I don't remember people really complaining. I think it's just the networks just don't want 4 hours of baseball on TV. The bottom line is Jim Cornette is very, very important for pro wrestling, and it is awesome to have someone that passionate in pro wrestling still. Yes, he makes a lot of money off of his shit, but he has earned it, man. So although I disagree with a lot of Jim Cornette's views, no, he definitely is an asset for pro wrestling. Absolutely. So Jimmy Fingers with the 2019 spot. DT, I am the biggest Bray Wyatt fan, but that Uncle Howdy get up looked like it came off the clearance rack from Spirit Halloween. That figure was a backstage hand. Howdy is going to still end up being Bray. I was underwhelmed. We knew what that character was from day one. And no, we didn't have exclusive news. We didn't have connections. We didn't have sources. We just, you know, looked back as a wrestling fan and saw this a mile away, that it was Bray Wyatt battling.
It's negative.
Oh, okay. My wife taking a COVID test. Her brother tested positive for COVID, and she's battling a cold. And the last thing that I need to do Christmas week, especially since I'm going to be around my family, is get COVID again. So she just took a test, but I'm still going to stay clear away from her. Even if she spreads eagle tonight, I'm still going to stay clear away. Can you catch COVID from... I'm just talking science.
You're retarded.
I'm just talking science.
Just be grateful that my mom does.
Oh, we don't want conversations. Thank you. Sorry. All right. Getting back to Sticky Fingers, Jimmy Fingers. We got a couple of fingers on this show. Jimmy Fingers, look, you know, I think people are more, this is why the net got it so wrong with Bray Wyatt, with Wyatt 6 and all that other stuff. Now, if you remember the Six Shades of Bray, you know, kind of spoofing off of the name Six Shades of Gray, Six Shades of Bray. That's what we've talked about all along. Different personalities of Bray Wyatt. The reason why so many people on social media got it wrong with Bray Wyatt saying that it's going to be Grayson Waller and Joe Gacy and this and that and this, is, you know, they were more concerned about getting 5,000 people to agree with them than actually trying to examine this as what it was. And listen, ain't no way that that person, eventually down the line, if they find the perfect person to team with Bray, sure, somebody could be revealed. Absolutely. Why you wouldn't want to close that door. But as of right now, you know, this is the scenic route on steroids. I'm not going to give SmackDown spoilers tomorrow. I'm going to give a preview. But I will say this. There is more interaction with Bray Wyatt and LA Knight. And when you start adding up, and we called this a month ago, Remember? I said, this shit's going to go 2 months, and it ain't no fucking match yet. Yeah, it's kind of getting into a territory that, you know, we're you know, most of us are big fans of Bray Wyatt, and we support Bray Wyatt, and we are ecstatic that he's back in pro wrestling. But as far as the creative side goes, this is dragging on way too fucking long. And I'm telling you, I see more and more people complaining about the overall story because they want to see the guy in the ring. Remember, this is pro wrestling, and yes, it is storyline driven. Yes, it is sports entertainment. Yes, it is a soap opera. And I think that is the one thing that is truly missing: hardcore, deep storylines in AEW. You know, just doing something and then taking 2-3 weeks off and then bringing it back and taking 2-3 weeks off and then doing something 3 months later. And people are like, oh, long-term booking. You know, that's something lacking in AEW. But with WWE, you know, of course, you know, we love the Bloodline storyline. We love the Sami Zayn storyline. But in the end, we want these guys wrestling. People want Bray Wyatt wrestling. You know, you want to tell a story that leads to a match, sure, but when it takes 12 weeks, how many months is Bray Wyatt back already? I mean, I think it was, I said early this year that he ain't wrestling in 2022. I mean, I'll pull up those 5-6 different episodes where I said that when he first came out. I don't think he's wrestling in 2022. I still have this fear that he may not wrestle till WrestleMania. And I'm telling you, people are going to get really, really fucking impatient. By Royal Rumble time, you see people are really going to get impatient with this stuff. You might see him punch a couple of times and do a finisher in the middle of the ring, but as far as a full-blown match, I don't know when we're going to see it. And I'm kind of with you with that. Seriously. I'm with you. Totally with you. But thank you again for that 2019. Very, very appreciated of that. I appreciate you. All right. Joe says, I'm looking a little bit green in my pod arena. You're looking a little green in your pod arena last week. You look way better. Oh, I know why. I know why. And honestly, you could blame Jake Hager for this one. I still don't want to show it, but I could fix that in 2 seconds. Let me know if this is better. Is this better? Well, that's not really good. Yeah, I might not be able to fix it right now. Let's see. Is that a little bit? Well, that's not very good. All right, how's that? How's that? I think we're on the right track. I may have to show you anyway. Is that a little bit better? I look pink now. I look like a newborn's baby ass. Better, right? Do you know why I changed the color before we went live? No joke. I'll just show you. I was going to do a little shout-out to Jake Hager. A little shout-out to Jake Hager. Loved the hat. I had to get one. But when I went live before we started the show, I looked at the color, and I looked at my screen. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, it doesn't look like the same color. So I kind of like fucked with my camera settings. So somebody says I look like LL Cool J. Let me tell you something. Back in the day, I wanted a Kango hat so bad. Mr. Hager. Those Kango hats were in style, but let me tell you something. Even though us Guidos liked hip-hop back in the 80s, I don't remember any Italians wearing Kango hats. Seriously. I'm curious to see what the reaction would have been of some of my Puerto Rican friends and some of my black friends back then, you know, showing up in a Kango hat. I think they'd be like, what are you doing? You know? All right. Shout out to AS7607. AS, I saw your email earlier. So, you know, you got my thoughts and prayers with you and your family. So, oh, shit. She just posted that she spent the early morning in the ER dealing with a grandmother dealing with a dental infection. She's home now and on antibiotics. That is good. Let me tell you something. I know some of you are going to probably hear this and say, wait a minute, emergency room for a dental infection. Oh, believe me when I tell you, especially when you get older, an infection could start anywhere, and that could turn into some serious business. So, you know, that was very, very smart to do. Glad that she is home for the holidays, and, you know, Merry Christmas to you and your family. You know, make it a good one. Make it a good one. All right. So, chat room, let's see your questions. Like I said, post capital letters the word question. And if, you know, if I get into yours, wait a few minutes to post another one and let, you know, it spread around a little bit. Rocky Red with a comment. Rest in peace, Stefan Twitch Boss. Very disheartening and saddened about it, especially as a black man with our struggles with mental health. Brings him back to Daphne, JDF, Robin, and Aunt Bourdain. I did hear that he committed suicide, and I heard that he had left a note. You know, I didn't know much about him. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd be lying to your face if I said I did. But the one thing that really caught my attention about Stefan is all the people that were saying this guy's smile was from ear to ear. And this guy, you would have thought he was the last person dealing with depression. And that just goes to show you that never assume. Just because you see a smile doesn't mean that the smile is actually there. You know, that is one of the things that really, really changed me as far as, you know, going after certain people on social media. You know, I mean, if you look over the last couple of years, there was a lot of legitimate reason for me to go full-blown and expose some big-time frauds out there. And, you know, I took a step back, especially, you know, when you see people taking, you know, the ultimate step. And I said, nah. I mean, as much as I may get mad at some people, you know, people I don't know, I'm not going to be that guy that, you know, maybe social media is all that someone has left. Maybe social media is the one thing that gives someone their most happiness. And yes, there's a lot of people that lie through their teeth about everything they say and do. But, you know, it's like, all right, you know, you expose what they are and then you take away the one thing that still keeps their happiness. I see, I don't want to name names, but you know some people on social media who have been dealing with some major, major, major health issues the last year or so. Some more recent, more than one person. And social media is one of their escapes. Going on Twitch is one of their escapes. Going on YouTube is one of their escapes. I'm not going to be that guy to contribute to take that away. So I just rather just, you know what? Trouble ahead, take the side street. I will never, ever, you know, just assume that someone is smiling from the ear to ear, that if I put a frown on their face, that, oh, it'll just piss them off and ruffle their feathers. Nah, I just, it's fucked up. And what happened to him was awful. I don't know what led to that, but again, that's why you see someone smiling, or if you deal with someone online and you don't see them in person, and everything they post is happy face, and oh, life is good, and this and that. You know, don't trash those people, or don't put them down simply for, you know, trying to portray that they love life. They might be trying to convince themselves that they're happy when they're not. You know, it's awful, man, awful. You know, I appreciate all the kind words everybody writing right now. That's one thing. I don't know who the YouTuber is or the Twitch person. Actually, it's a guy on Twitch. Props for anybody that knows who I'm talking about. There was a guy on Twitch that has like millions of followers. And when I say this now, I guarantee you someone live is going to pull up his name. They're going to know what I'm talking about. There was a guy that was on Twitch like a week or two ago and has this insanely large live stream. And there was a woman, and he said, like, hey, how's everything going? And she talked about some type of a tragedy. And he fucking went off on her. And, you know, like, going off on her for bringing that onto his show. And this guy was cold. I mean, you could see that this motherfucker doesn't know how to console people. And then he did a video, a recorded video afterwards, to justify why he took that stance, and he came off as an even bigger dick. I don't know who he is. Just someone showed me on their feed and said, look at this asshole. Yeah, Linux says that he's heard about it. I'm curious who it was. But, man, if anybody knows. Oh, yeah, John Vickers says he. No, he's talking about Stefan. Crazy Cruiserweight with the five spot. Much love, my friend. How's everything going? You still a fan of Thea Hale? I made an error last week on Monday. How could Kylie Rae make her WWE return if she never wrestled for them before? She didn't work doing NXT? Wow. I thought she did NXT. Seriously. You know what? I think because I used to talk about Kylie Rae and Kaylee Rae. Yeah, no. I had a couple of brain farts last Monday. So you know what? You could very well be right. I honestly thought that she did a cup of coffee in NXT or something. So she never wrestled for WWE. That's wild, man. That's wild. But like I said, you know, you remember back in the day I used to say Kylie Rae? And then someone would say, no, DT, it's Kaylee Rae. And I'm like, yeah, Kylie Rae. No, Kaylee Rae. It's two different. This is way back before everybody knew. But Hey, Cruiserweight, I kind of feel bad that you sent the five spot to correct that for me. But I appreciate it. No, seriously. Props to you, man. Yes, Cruiserweight, you're right. Kaylee Rae is Alba Fire, absolutely. But I used to always mix up the names, Kylie Rae, Kaylee Rae. Now you got Taya Valkyrie and Lyra Valkyria. There's always close names. But Benjamin says he thought Kylie Rae was in the Mae Young Classic. You know what? That could be maybe where I spotted her back then. But no, even if she was in the Mae Young Classic, doesn't mean that she was under WWE contract. There was a few people that was in there that was not on the WWE contract. So that could be where I saw her. I honestly thought I saw her before in a WWE ring. Cruiserweight says that she wasn't in the Mae Young Classic. So, yeah, I guess it's one of those, what do they call those things? Not enigmas, but what is that where you always thought that, you know, it was this, but it was actually never was. Like, I saw recently about the Michael Jordan Nike symbol, that, you know, the original symbol where he is making a dunk, you know, he actually was like wearing jeans or something. Just like Mandela effect. Thank you, Cruiserweight. Mandela effect. Kylie Rae might be wrestling's Mandela effect. I honestly thought that she wrestled in WWE. I'm going to bring that up tomorrow. Yeah, because Monday, look, some people only tune in to specific theme shows. Not everybody tunes into multiple shows of mine. I will have people tuning in tomorrow that only tune into the Monday shows. So I will definitely bring that up tomorrow. But I'm telling you, I think Kylie Rae might be my Mandela effect. So, all right. Mighty Mighty is in the house. Happy holidays. Would people start claiming their New Japan friends fans? Or is this case, in this case, Stardom fans, the moment Sasha Banks appears at Wrestle Kingdom? I don't mind. I mean, if someone wants to now claim that they're a fan, even if they weren't, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. You know what I do have a problem with? This has been going on for decades. It's been going on for decades. I hate when people leave WWE and people immediately to almost like as a protest to WWE, like they're making a statement as if WWE gets offended by it, that they use the person's real name. Now, if Sasha Banks shows up at Stardom and she is Mercedes Varnado, that's fine. That's fine. But as of right now, she is still Sasha Banks. Guess what? Wrestlers who retired All right. You know, Shane Helms. A lot of people still, hey, Hurricane. You know, but when I remember when CM Punk left many, many years ago, people to try to like make a statement to be anti-WWE, they would call him Phil. I don't think Phil would want you to call him Phil unless he said, call me Phil. Do you know Phil as Phil or do you know Phil as CM Punk? And I saw these people like, Phil, I'm so happy that Phil left. Now it's, I can't wait for Mercedes' movie. And you know people are doing that because they're trying to make this statement that they're anti-WWE, so they will not acknowledge a WWE wrestler name once they leave. And they look like total goofs. Those are the people that rip me, just rub me the wrong way. You know, like I said last week, the ones that everything they write, like, oh, this goes hard. Oh, Undertaker with a goatee goes hard. No, somebody naked should make you go hard. You know, I'm so sick of that fucking phrase. This goes hard. They'll show a wrestling move from 20 years. This goes hard. That goes hard. You'll spot the people now because I said that. You know, some people don't do it to try to make a statement, but you see the ones that do, and that's cringe to me. Because, listen, a lot of wrestlers, especially when they retire, you know, if they don't use their real name or they don't tell everyone to go by their real name, you call them their wrestling name. And you see people doing that. They think they're making a statement. They feel like they have a more personal connection with the person. Yeah, Mercedes Moné, I don't mind that. Let her listen. Like I said, when the Viking Raiders first showed up and people were like, oh, why can't they just call them the Viking Experience? The Viking Raiders sounds like two NFL teams. Remember what I said that time? Call them whatever the fuck you want. Give me good shit. I had no problem with them calling LA Knight Max Dupree if Max Dupree would have been fucking awesome character on TV. You know, look at Bron Breakker. Remember all the people that were triggered about Bron Breakker? Why can't they just call him Steiner? Even though Steiner is not their real name either. Steiner is a piece of their last name. But the thing is that, you know, we know how Bron Breakker got his name. But the point is that, man, worry about the fucking character than what you like and don't like. You know, it was funny to watch some people online that because now with Triple H a creative, they call a hospital instead of a medical facility. And I see people like, man, how fucking great is it that they call it a hospital? I'm like, man, you need to get a fucking life. I mean, what do I give a shit? Call it whatever you want. Call it a fucking doctor. Call it a medical. I want them to call it an urgent care. Seriously. If I bought a wrestling promotion right now and somebody got taken out in an ambulance, I would fucking tell those announcers, you better say urgent care. Don't use hospital. Just to be a dick. Call it urgent care. You know, people like getting oh, they're calling it hospital now. Cruiserweight with a two spot. Forget Thea Hale. He's still all about Saray. Saray is being repackaged. She will be back on TV in a couple of weeks. I hope they find a niche for her. I think they will. I think Royal Rumble time, you're going to see a few people called up, and I think that will open up some opportunity for Saray. The concern is that if it doesn't develop soon, you know, when they start doing overseas shows again, she may have to do something overseas. I don't know, man. I really don't know. Kevon Lewis with the five spot. Thank you, my friend. Tell us what Naomi spelled backwards is. I moan. I don't know if I remember. Well, my favorite one in recent memory was Lana. Spell Lana backwards. Yeah, Kevon, that's true. I moan. Yeah, I moan. Wow, she could be Moan and Monet. I Monet. I moan and Monet. I think Naomi's going to be back in WWE soon. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. Do you think Naomi could come back as a single star and win one of those women's championships? whether it's against Bianca or maybe Ronda Rousey. Do you think Naomi could, you know, get to that point and be the focal point of the one of the brands, the women's division? Because obviously, listen, you know it's going to be really tough? Remember when we talked about how all summer and part of the fall that Sasha and Naomi were everywhere? You would have thought they were sisters from the same mister, or they were lovers, or, you know, something. Like, you know, they kept getting booked together. And, you know, it's nothing against Naomi, but it was just like everywhere. They go to a baseball game. They go to the bathroom. They go to the movies. They go to a restaurant. They go to the movie premiere. They go here. And they're always together. And I'm like, you should be with your spouses. You know, I mean, they just appeared everywhere. That's why most of us thought, well, they're keeping them together because they're going to return together. How's that going to look if Sasha goes to Japan and then you find out that, you know, Stardom was like, nah, no Naomi, give us Sasha. We just want Sasha. I think some people are going to probably try to manipulate the news direction of that to try to, you know, be a little soft on that. Me personally, I'm an American wrestling fan. I want to see them back on TV. So, Kavaman, another five spot. Thank you. Merry Christmas. All jokes aside, what's my favorite Kevin Owens match? Oof, boy. I mean, Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens has had an illustrious career, man. You know, I have not seen his pro wrestling guerrilla stuff in ages. Haven't seen his Ring of Honor stuff in ages. That's one thing that's going to be really, really interesting. I'm not dodging your question. I'll answer it in some way in a moment. But when Tony Khan relaunches Honor Club, it's going to be really interesting if they go and show a little retro on television and they do a flashback and they show Kevin Steen. They show El Generico, and they show some others, and they could do it. They own the rights to the footage. Impact was doing that for a little while. You know, AJ Styles showed up in WWE. Suddenly, AJ Styles was all over the Impact wrestling, and it would play in retro stuff. But as far as his WWE, you know, I think this is more feud than anything. I loved his work with John Cena. I did. You know, and if people remember, you know, when he first came to the main roster, you know, there were things about him that turned me off. And I was not aware about his nasal issue, you know, because remember it always seemed like he was chewing gum or chewing something. And I did that very stupid spoof, oh, wins always chewing all the time, chewing all the time, chewing all the time. And then you found out there was a reason behind it. But, you know, when he came up and stomped on John Cena's United States Championship, you know, it put him right on the map. Listen, I even loved the moment when Triple H helped him get the Universal Championship. But Kevin Owens, man, I would have to go back and revisit some of those matches. But he's got, man, if you had DVDs or Blu-rays, still a popular thing, that guy easily could put out, anybody could put out a three-disc set about his stuff. He is that good. And it's going to be a little interesting in 2 weeks. Think about this. Kevin Owens is teaming up with John Cena the 30th of December. And last week, Elias wanted to team up with Kevin Owens. It's like bizarro land for Kevin Owens. Like the people that he hates the most in storyline, he may be aligned with in some way. I mean, it is kind of funny when you think about it. But, man, Kevin Owens is in my top five favorite wrestlers of today. I've said that many times. Kevin Owens is in my top five, might even be in my top three. I mean, he's that good. And listen, when he re-signed, remember all the rumors that he was going to go to AEW? Sami Zayn, those rumors also, and you had others. When I heard that he re-signed with WWE and got the millions, you know, you felt it. You felt that he was so detailed on TV and taking that extra step to really, you know, you could feel that the guy was putting in 200%. You could tell when people are just winging it weekly. And that guy really goes out of his way to give more than 100%. So, big Kevin Owens fan here. Big Kevin Owens fan. All right. All righty then. Austin says, hopefully with Gallows and Anderson, it'll revamp him. You mean as far as AJ Styles? Because there's a discussion in the chat room. Could AJ Styles win the world championship again? Yeah, I could see that. My God, they just had AJ take on Gunther over the weekend. And some house show reports, everybody fucking gushed over it. So I'm hoping maybe we get a little Christmas special. Maybe that December 30th SmackDown, maybe Gunther issues an open challenge. Maybe they announce an open. I didn't see on the spoils if they issue an open, if he announces an open challenge for that week. But, man, I'd love to see them bring AJ on SmackDown. Let him wrestle Gunther, even if it's in a losing effort. But, yeah, I definitely think that AJ Styles could become heavyweight champion again. I think one of his last runs as a wrestler will be for heavyweight championship. Some wrestlers on their way out, they get that storyline where, you know, they get that one last run. And not that you retire as champion, that rarely ever happens unless it's an injury. But yeah, I can see AJ as champion one more time. Speaking of one more, Kavan, one more five spot. Thank you, Kavan. I appreciate it. He's going to stop because he needs money for Mandy Rose. Smart man. Was I a fan of the new edition? And if so, what was my favorite song? That deserves it. Oh, wow, that's cool. Chris Jericho, like, blocked my view. No joke. This is the God honest truth. I always tell you straight up here, even if it pisses people off sometimes. Back in this era where everybody's wearing Kangos, I did not like New Edition. And I blame it on the radio stations more than anything else, because every 40 minutes, cool it now, you got to cool it now, ooh, watch out, you're going to lose that girl. I hated it. How did I even know these lyrics? I have not heard. Oh, God. You ever see those pictures? Erase one from history. Charlotte Flair, Bayley, Mercedes, or whatever. Becky Lynch. If you give me a list, a New Edition is on there every single time. They weren't bad. There were a lot of people that were fans of New Edition. I thought when they came on the scene around, 1983, 84, I think it was kind of like, not compared to the Jackson 5, but there was, you know, if you think about it, in the 80s, you had the Jackson 5 in the 70s. Then in the 80s, you had New Edition, I almost said New Day. Then you have Menudo, I think it was. Then you had others. I know there's like Backstreet Boys and all that stuff. I don't know if that's 4 or 5, but when New Edition came around, they compared them to the Jackson 5, even though I don't think New Edition, I don't think it was 5 people with New Edition, but they weren't bad. It was just, I heard it so much on my radio that it was annoying. And so honestly, I never really liked them. They gave me the same feeling I did about Belle Biv DeVoe. I fucking hated Belle Biv DeVoe in the 90s. Belle Biv DeVoe. Now you know. That girl is poor. I wanted to break my radios back then. New Edition was very talented. And, you know, they should have gone further as a group. I think there is an unsung documentary about New Edition. I'm not sure, but I remember there was a documentary on YouTube that I saw a long time ago, just out of curiosity to see what some people were up to. But they weren't bad. They were very talented. And they were obviously, you know, like a teenage, you know, fan base. They weren't bad. Just not for me. Not for me. But if I had a choice of Menudo or New Edition, I'd listen to New Edition. Did not like Menudo. Rocky Red. Did I collect wrestling figures back in the day and today? He knows that I have the first ever autograph with Karrion Kross and Scarlett. They're actually over there somewhere. I have to DM him soon. I'm going to offer them back to them. You know, I'm sure, you know, it's not a big deal, but maybe they would like that they have in their possession the first ever item they ever autographed in WWE. I overpaid for those back then. I was showing support, man. He showed so much support for Kevin and I. And, you know, I did that in return. Didn't do it to try to invest and make money or anything. But wrestling figures, honestly, I did not collect all that many. When the WWF wrestling figures came out, and I've told this story many times, the first ever wrestling figure I had was Roddy Piper. The first one, the Hot Rod, when he's like this, that was my first ever wrestling figure. And my grandmother, God rest her soul, she is the one that got me into wrestling in 1979. When she was alive, you know, Roddy Piper was her most hated wrestler. She was the biggest Hulk Hogan fan. And I've said this story also, that my grandmother used to come visit us by my house. My grandmother would be sitting at the dining room table having coffee. And I would very, very quietly go behind her and I put the Roddy Piper figure right next to her. And I don't want to use anything that could break. I don't know. I really don't want to use anything that could break. Okay, we use... No. Let's take stuff out of this bag. With my luck, you'll hear glass breaking and shit. Pretend this is a Roddy Piper figure. And I would put it, like, right next to her. And she would turn around and look at it. And she'd be like, get that fucking shit out of my face. She got so pissed off, man. She hated Roddy Piper. But that was my favorite wrestling figure. I took it everywhere. I got the original blue WWF wrestling ring that had those ropes that if you pull, they were like rubber bands. Anybody ever have the first WWF ring in like 84? It felt like rubber bands. You'd pull it and you'd let it go bing, and then you pulled it too hard and it would snap. And then unfortunately, you couldn't go back to Toys R Us and say, yeah, could I get some extra ropes? And you kind of like ended up with like two ropes instead of three. So Snuka unfortunately did not look impressive doing the Superfly splash off the middle rope. But that I really didn't collect wrestling figures afterwards. Once in a while, I would get one. But middle 80s, that's pretty much the only time that I had wrestling figures. And then I stopped. And I don't joke about anybody who collects them, because some people I know have these unbelievable collections. And I'm like, man, that's just mad cool. You know, me, it's more bobbleheads. I have bobbleheads everywhere. By the way, don't forget, if you send a question in for Thursday's Q&A and everybody votes as their favorite question, somebody's going to win a DT bobblehead. That's from this Thursday's mailbag. I made the announcement the other day. I was going to do the mailbag every 2 weeks. We got so many questions in like the last 3 days about Vince, Sasha, and Mandy Rose. A lot of emails that I decided I'm going to do another mailbag this Thursday. So you have until Wednesday to submit a question. Go to the community section on YouTube or email me, dontony@dontony.com. Just don't give me 10 questions. That doesn't give you 10 chances to win, because I'm probably only going to use one or two to, you know, spread it around evenly. But Verse Pro said he used to use rubber bands for the broken ropes. I tell you, I probably tried. But you remember those old rubber bands that for some reason they would like get like this weird feeling on them, and then you pulled a little too hard and they would just break into 1,000 pieces? I don't know what was wrong with the rubber bands at that time, but you know what I used to do though? I used to crazy glue rubber bands on my face and say I was Captain Lou Albano. And then my mother would be like, what the hell did you do to your face? And then I would pull it off, and then you realize, how many times, did any of you ever do this? Did you ever, well, they didn't have Gorilla Glue back then, but did you ever crazy glue rubber bands on your face like Captain Lou, and then you go to pull it off, and then it's realize it's really glued to your face, and you pull it, and then you let go, and it like snaps you in the face? I did that many times when I was a kid. I glued rubber bands to my face. What else did I do to my face as a wrestling fan? I did stupid things back then. I jumped off the top of a sliding pond. thinking I was Jimmy Snuka. I broke my ankle. I glued rubber bands to my face. We backyard wrestled. I've told this before. My friend gave me the Masked Superstar neck breaker right near the steps of his basement, and I hit the corner of the step, knocked me right out. He's like, yeah, that finish is great. I was unconscious for about 15 seconds. One time, I remember I was in Woodhaven, and right after Hulk Hogan put the sleeper hold on Richard Belzer in 1985, it happened on my birthday, March 27, 1985. He put Richard Belzer in that headlock, and it was like a sleeper, and knocked him out, and then he fell and cracked his head open. Me and my friends went into Woodhaven by my friend's house like a couple of months later. We were breakdancing. No, true story. We were breakdancing. And my friend put one of my friends in that Hulk Hogan like sleeper like he did to Richard Belzer. And my friend really passed out for a few seconds. It really does cut off the blood supply. If you hit the right spot and you squeeze on the temples, somebody will get knocked out for real. Crazy shit, man. Gruss says he hit a kid with a pedigree in high school. I tell you, as fucked up as that could end up, it probably was cool, though. If you execute it the right way, even though you injure the person, you probably get thrown out of school or you get detention for it. Yeah, you look back and are like, man, I fucking, look at the fight that I had. I've told that story before, too, when I had a legit fight in a park and I was bullied. I didn't call it bullied back then. I just called, you know, people being dicks. And I had this fight with this guy, and he put me in a headlock, and all I did was pick him up and fall backwards. And he hit his head. He hit his chest against, like, a rock, and he was laying on the floor going, he couldn't breathe. And everybody was like, yeah, yeah. And everybody's patting me on the back. I felt like $1 million. You know, but it kind of sucked. It was like, oh, I had to beat up someone to be, you know, popular with people. But that was my favorite move. All he did was put me in a headlock. In fact, if any of you ever get into like a fight now, road rage incident, post office, you know, waiting in line for something and somebody puts you in a headlock, just pick them up and fall backwards. That's it. Let them hit the head against the floor and whatever else. And that's it. Easy. Easy peasy. Just pick them up, fall backwards. I didn't know what I was doing. You think I got up and people like shades of Bret Hart. You know, I fucking suplexed that motherfucker. He landed. Remember the movie Stripes? Remember the drill sergeant, Hulka? Remember when he remember like, that's exactly what this guy sounded like. That was awesome, man. Listen, I don't condone backyard wrestling. But, you know, I kind of look back with fond memories. You know, my friend hit me in the head with a 2x4 once and almost cracked my head open for real because we were doing whippets. And then we were play wrestling, and he had a 2x4. And I thought I was like Onita or something. Like, hit me over the head with it. I'm like, come on, you could hit better than that. Hit me harder. And he fucking cracked me over the head, and I was like, that's it. No blood, though. No blood. We'll save that another time. Benjamin, do we dare to hope the Mandy release is a work? It's not a work. I wish it was. Oh, did you see this clickbait Friday? WWE reveals that it was Xia Li who attacked on SmackDown because fans started thinking it was Mandy. You dick. Nobody fucking did that. Even if people did. You know, what are they going to reveal Uncle Howdy because everybody thinks it's Bo Dallas? I hate this uber clickbaiting. Oh, WWE reveals Xia Li due to pressure that everybody thought it was Mandy Rose. Oh, my God. That's why I don't want WWE to come forward about the Matt Riddle stuff. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Matt Riddle a little bit more. Seems like, once again, everyone, the good guys. Last week we said something didn't feel right. With the Matt Riddle tribute, that maybe, you know, he wasn't doing blow or something like that. Now it's starting to come out a little bit that, you know, this actually may be something entirely different. You see a lot of people backtracking. What happened last Monday, and look, if Riddle, like I said last Monday, if Riddle did what was being claimed, he deserves to be suspended. No questions asked. But if he wasn't, some people really, I want to be first. I don't care if I'm right. That's the motto for a lot of people online. And last week, if that turns out that they fucked up, but I still don't want WWE to reveal it. Because the storyline is that Solo Sikoa knocked his ass out for 6 weeks. Don't fuck up the storyline. You know, don't do like, you know, reveal the truth. Leave the storyline alone. You know, people are stupid. People are stupid to make that claim, but, you know, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Rocky Red says a lot of people thought it was Chelsea Green. Honestly, all I know is that the person was very short. Maybe it was Uncle Howdy. Oh, man, that Uncle Howdy, I mean, he looked awfully short, man. I mean, Bray Wyatt is short, but I don't think he's that short. But I think the funniest thing about it was the gloves. The gloves were done because the person who choked out or uncovered L.A. Knight when he was under the hood, Bray Wyatt's got tattoos. So they had to put gloves on Uncle Howdy so it didn't reveal that it was Bray Wyatt. You know, because believe me, a lot of people would have did forensics online about the hands. Oh, let's zoom in on the hands. Look at the hairs. Look at the knuckles. That's Bray Wyatt's finger. Look, he's had a little bit too much fat in his intake. You could see like his cuticles are a little bigger than normal. The cuticles match. You would have people doing that. James Campbell, what or can Mandy Rose do to get in the good graces of WWE again for a return sometime down the road? She's got to stop with the adult content. That's really it. You know, Jim Cornette brought out a very, very valid point. I think a lot of people, and remember what I said last week. I mean, everybody knows I'm one of the biggest Mandy Rose supporters. But still, you know, what was being reported last week and when everybody was writing on social media to, like, think they're making statements, they left out one very important aspect of this, is that Mandy Rose was told not to do this. All right? Let me give you a little piece of news. This is news. This is not sausage. This is legit news that nobody is talking about. When WWE allowed wrestlers to do a little bit of social media again, like me, Yim on YouTube, and other people on Twitch and this and that, everybody on the roster was told what is considered okay, what is not. She got the memo. She was told before, this is unacceptable. Jim Cornette brought out a very good point. This is a PG company with PG advertisers. And, you know, there are certain things. And when you manufacture Mandy Rose merchandise and she's damn naked on social media, you know, that even though it has nothing to do with WWE, now, look, the past is the past, but this is not the past. This is the present. And she's doing that at the same time that she's with WWE. And right now, the amount of money that Mandy Rose is getting from this page, why would she stop? Why would she stop? You know, I mean, she knew the risk by doing this. When she put up that content, you think that she went out to dinner with her fiancé? And you think they were like, oh, WWE, I have no problem with this. Come on. I'm beautiful. Come on. I'm beautiful. Then I have a problem. Come on. Everybody show some skin. We weren't born with clothes. You know, I'm not showing anything that people haven't seen before. She knew. She knew. So how does she get back into good graces? You got to eliminate that in the first place. And I don't know. Why should she get rid of that page? She's making good money, man. You know? Now, she takes that money and starts eating lots of donuts, and she turns into a blowfish, and that subscriber count comes down to, like, you know, like, minuscule numbers, then a pro wrestling return is a possibility. Listen, when you have Uber uber sexy, beautiful people. I say it like that. When you have uber sexy, beautiful people that do want to show, you know, their birthday suit, that's probably going to spell, you know, chances that you're not going to be a WWE superstar. Plain and simple. You know, Toni Storm, that's one of the things. You know, she wanted this OnlyFans. She doesn't post nudity, but she wanted this OnlyFans, and I don't think that WWE would have allowed her to show what she shows already. So, you know, I don't think, look, we miss Mandy Rose. We'd love to see her still in a WWE ring, but understand this was Mandy Rose's decision to take this a step further. And she sacrificed her WWE career at the moment for this opportunity. That's it. There's no controversy. You know, I can't shit on WWE for this because everybody was told. She knew. So, all right. Greg. Greg is in the house. How much more? Oh, you didn't write the word question, so it's okay. How much more do wrestlers need to be making to not do stuff on their own? Well, you know, depends. You know, if someone is on stream or Twitch or YouTube and their revenue starts going down quite a bit, you know, then they may go back to pro wrestling. Listen, at some point, you know, and let me say it like this. Let me say it like this. You know, you got to be a very popular, well-known person, you know, or some social media influencer or some sexy piece of ass to get that kind of money doing these things. Not everybody gets to that category. So when you start adding up numbers, not everybody is going to break the bank. Just because a wrestler decides, I want to play video games all day long, doesn't mean that they're going to get 100,000 subscribers, paid monthly subscribers. The money's got to, you know, people got to make choices. Not everybody's going to break the bank. So, you know, some people, they absolutely love pro wrestling and they don't want to sacrifice those good years. So it's really a personal choice. But not everybody makes that decision. Tristan, do I think Daniel Bryan will re-sign with WWE when his AEW contract expires? Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan will absolutely be back in WWE at some point. Don't know when. Don't know when. But, you know, he, you, we're going to talk about it tomorrow. But, you know, this hit job that Vice did with Vince McMahon, there's a bunch of names that are floating around as far as people that that Vice contacted to be part of the documentary, and several names turned it down. One of them was Bryan Danielson. Not everybody wanted to get dragged into whichever side they're on with Vince McMahon. But Bryan Danielson will be back in WWE. He will be put in the Hall of Fame. He will, you know, finish up, I think, his career in WWE. They didn't leave on bad terms. The guy is just, you know, he's going to go back. You know, we just don't know when. Now, granted, if he starts showing some health issues again, and WWE is very, very concerned, especially after what happened before, then you got to think twice about it. But I think Bryan Danielson will be back. Bryan Danielson just comes off as someone who loves pro wrestling, loves life, and just wants to have fun. Doesn't want to be part of any drama or controversy. Okay. Charlie Conway with a comment. Neat, good Vince thumbnail with the Inspector Gadget. Well, the Inspector Gadget was not Vince. That was trying to peek into the fight with CM Punk and the Elite. But if you're talking about my thumbnail for tomorrow, yeah, I thought this was easy. I might even use it for Saturday, too. You know, yes, I kind of had to Photoshop it because I had WWE logos everywhere. But, yeah, that is Vince McMahon. He wants to know, are you naughty or are you nice? And as soon as you start saying, no, Vince, I was very, very nice. Shut up. I don't want to hear that. You were naughty, damn it. You were naughty. Listen, Vince, I hope to want to still have sex at his age. Like I said, as of right now, he has committed no crimes. We don't know what was true and what was not. I do know, especially in this day and age, let's be honest. This is not defending Vince, but let's be honest. Let's go there, because a lot of people won't. When I was in first grade, second grade, and I saw a little girl, and I was a little boy, you know, preteen, not even 10 years old, when I'm in first grade, and I see a little girl that I had a crush on, and I went up to her, and I pulled her hair and ran away, I got in trouble for it. I got in detention. You know, you do stupid, weird things, you know, when you're a little kid and you got a crush on someone. I threw a rock at a girl once, and I had a crush on her, you know. We were both 8 years old. Nowadays, you're bullying, you're this, you're that. You know, I had a water gun. You shoot someone in the face. I got that infamous picture from high school. Yeah, I've shown it. I don't want to pull it up now. It'd take way too long. Maybe I can. I'll see if I can. I got to relabel my photos here. But let me see. Oh, yeah, I do have it. All right. Okay. Here. This is high school. This is me in high school. This is, I don't think it was senior year of high school. It might have been junior year. Here, look. This is the last day of school for me. That is me. I wore a lot of white back then. Miami Vice. I'm squirting a water gun in my friend's face. If I did that now, I'd be suspended. If I did that now, I'd have police. Drop the weapon! Drop it! That's me. Legit. No joke. That is me. My point is this. And I brought this up before. I'm sorry for repeating myself. When I used to go to clubs, the late 80s, early 90s, and you'd have playboys, Jersey Shore wannabes, guys that would say anything to a girl, try to pick them up and get laid. Hey, you want to go hang out with my vet? Yeah, he's got a Chevette. You know, hey, how you doing? Hey, you know, my father has this talent agency. You know, you look like you're a model. Hey, you want to go back to my place and do a little photo shoot for free? I send it in. Yeah, we got Hollywood contact. They would say anything. They'd have a wad of money, and they'd take it out and look like it's hundreds. And there might be one or two hundreds outside the wad, and everything else is singles and fives. Guys would do anything to get laid with certain women. And I guarantee you, in that millionaire and billionaire's world, there are some people out there who will go, you know, a certain route to advance their careers. Vince McMahon, I also believe, did the billionaire version of Joey Ryan. I think Vince, you know, promised things. I think Vince sweet-talked people. I think Vince manipulated women so he could get laid. And then he did not promise, he did not deliver on what he promised. And I think a lot of these women felt used, abused, treated like shit. Back in the day, you would have a girl would be like, that motherfucker, he played me. That motherfucker said he had this, he had this, all that to try to get in my pants. Now you do that today, I was raped. I was sexually abused. I was assaulted. And why? Because some people, that's the only way to get revenge. Back in the 80s and the early 90s, when I used to go out and see it with my own eyes, I was too fat and ugly to be in that position. You don't think, honestly, you don't think in my position, you don't think I wanted to be in the club like, hey, how you doing? Come here. Let me buy you a drink. You know, I bet I get the leftovers. I wait till 3 o'clock in the morning and I see what troglodyte is still hanging out over there and I try to get me some. You know, there's nobody around. Everybody went home already. So at least the next week, somebody's like, hey, T, what was that walrus that you picked up last week? But back then, if a guy got laid and he bragged about it and he lied and he did everything he can, that girl would fucking slap him in the face, throw a drink in his face, may even get her big brother to beat the shit out of him. Now these days, how do you get revenge? Oh, I'm going to report that he sexually assaulted me. You don't think that some people don't do that these days? Of course they do, because it's their only revenge. If they get their big brother to beat them up, they're going to be in jail. That's their world. Vince, to me, is a pig. I wouldn't want him as my father. I wouldn't want him as my relative. I wouldn't want him as my boss. But, you know, for everybody that thinks, you know, we don't know. We don't know. But in that world, you know, you got money and you got power. You know, you see what happens sometimes. And, you know, until I see someone actually go to the cops instead of going to a lawyer and suing, you know, and trying to get millions off of it. When I see somebody go to the cops and say, Vince assaulted me, arrest that old man. Everybody goes to a lawyer to sue and make millions. Nobody goes to the cops, you know, and I understand, you know. You know, people are afraid, you know, especially back in the 80s and the 90s. Well, what about the 2000 and 2010s? Vince did this to 15, 20 women. Not one goes to the cops. You know, if you're Vince is like, that's my type of woman. You know, I mean, you want to stop this guy, stop this madness? Go to the fucking cops. If you don't go to the cops, he committed no crimes and he's a pig. But that's not illegal. That's how I look at it. Guardian of Chaos. What's up? My top three venues that I've attended an event. Madison Square Garden, absolutely. ECW Arena, without a doubt. Elks Lodge. Those three. Those are my three favorites of all time. I've gone to other venues and had a blast. ECW Arena, especially when I was able to help rebuild the Eagle's Nest for XPW. You don't understand, man. I've kind of told about this before, but I think some of you, if you were a fan of ECW, you'll appreciate this. When XPW came to the Northeast in 2002 and I worked for them, we were there in, oh God, it must have been February 2003, somewhere around that time. And, you know, this guy Slash, you know, came up with this idea that in intermissions, they were going to have a heavy metal band perform. They were going to have full-blown music. In the ECW arena, they don't have an area for a band to perform. So they decided to rip apart the Eagle's Nest. You remember the Eagle's Nest? You remember the old ECW stuff? Like Tommy Dreamer, he was on the top of like this stage area and he got tossed over. Or Public Enemy dove and did flips off of it through tables and shit like that. Down below, they ripped that whole thing apart. We went to Home Depot and bought wood and bought all this stuff. And you had to see people from like the Ring of Honor and the Mike Johnsons and, oh, who was that asshole? The Bob McGee's. When they found out that XPW was ripping apart the Eagle's Nest and the bottom stage, that's bottom area to turn into a stage, they thought that we were like ripping down a mosque. Like, that is religious territory. And we ripped that apart. It was, you know, it was just, hey, blame it on the building. The landlord was like, God, do what you want. You're paying the rent. Do what you want. Elks Lodge was awesome, man. Elks Lodge was really awesome. The Madhouse of Extreme. I will always remember End of an Era, USA Pro Wrestling, because I went halves with the Masked Maniac on that show. 1,700 people in that building. Bam Bam Bigelow mooning the crowd, getting showered with garbage. Like, I showed it on these shows once before. If there's enough demand, I'll show it next week. The footage. I own the rights to the footage. When they reformed the Triple Threat that night, and they were getting pelted with more garbage in the ring than you saw at NWO back in the day. And when I watched that, you know, I always took pride about it because, again, you know, some people may not like that I'm tooting my own horn. But when we did that night, End of an Era, that infamous match between Loki and Sonjay Dutt, that's still talked about to this day, the Masked Maniac wanted to reform the Dungeon of Doom. And he asked me, he goes, what do you think about it? I said, nah, I think we should reunite the Triple Threat. He's like, why do you say that? I said, because this is where ECW, the Madhouse Extreme, everything was ECW here. The Dungeon of Doom has no connection to this building. Let's reform the ECW Triple Threat. And he said to me at that time, this is a true story. He said to me, he goes, well, look, Tammy and Chris Candido, God rest his soul, you know, they're really unpredictable right now because they were dealing with some substance issues. And, you know, we knew that Chris had cleaned himself up, but we weren't sure about Tammy. And he's like, if you want to reform that Triple Threat, that's fine. But you got to pay out of your pocket Chris Candido and Tammy's pay. And if they don't show up, you're not getting that money back. I said, no problem. And, you know, he had Shane Douglas there, brought Bam Bam Bigelow in. And that's the night that I watched all their gear. When they were, I didn't see that moment. I had saw it on the tape after because I was in the back in the kitchen area guarding all their outfits and stuff. They trusted me. They're like, could you watch our stuff? Because they got dressed in the kitchen. That's where they did it. That's why it was a little weird. Like afterwards, when they get back and they were all high-fiving each other and they said, oh, it was awesome, this and that, and they tell me about it. And meanwhile, I'm looking in the corner of my eye and here comes Tammy just dropping all her clothes. She's getting dressed and everything. And then, you know, you kind of like act like you're looking the other way. But Elks Lodge was awesome, man. Loved it. Chaos says he was fortunate enough to work with all three members of the Triple Threat. Listen, that must be awesome, man. I mean, that's tremendous. The names that you got to work with, you know, me, just being in the same room with them was like epic. You know, being able to have casual conversation was incredible, but being able to work, I mean, I could only imagine how good that feels. That's awesome, man. You know, I see some of the names. Terry Funk stuff is amazing, you know, but that's awesome, man. You know, the good thing about that is nobody could ever take those memories away from you. That's why I always say to each and every one of you out there, if you got the opportunity to do something, don't not do it because you think you're going to fail. Well, no matter what it is, because believe me when I tell you, years later, you're going to say to yourself, I should have fucking tried it. I should have did. There's things that I kicked myself in the ass for not doing, you know, that I should have done back in the day. Even stuff wrestling related. And I just didn't do it. And I regret it to this day. And if you do it, even if you fail, you still got that memory of trying, you know. And trust me, I know when I tell the stories about the stuff that I was involved in or a part of, I, you know, it may not be as important as it sounds, but believe me when I tell you, when you get to live it and experience it and see it, it's memories that they can never take away from you. Unless, you know, I get dementia and I don't even know that I'm supposed to be doing a show. You know, I'm not trying to poke fun at dementia, but, you know, I mean, picking up the Mexicans at the airport and watching, you know, Halloween and Psychosis and Hoovy, you know, screaming at the girls in my neighborhood walking down the street, you know, hey, papi, hey, how you doing? You know, and it's like, you know, it's like wild. But little things like that, going to Kentucky Fried Chicken, they start powerbombing each other or start doing shit. And everybody is marking out because some fans know who they are and everything. It's, you know, it's pretty cool to be parts of little things like that, you know. I mean, even, you know, like I always told the story about Mick Foley. You know, we did a charity event in Long Island back in the mid-2000s for a military guy who had needed a lot of medical bills paid. Mick Foley agreed to show up and do an autograph signing for free. And I've always told this story off and on. That's why one of the reasons why I adore Mick Foley. We were on Sunrise Highway, I think it was. And wherever we were doing this show at a car dealership, and there was no place to park about a half a mile, maybe a quarter of a mile away. We see some guy with a, I think it was a Mike Piazza Mets jersey. And if anybody knows Mick Foley, you could play this clip. He'll tell you it's 100% true. We see some guy with like a Mike Piazza jersey on crutches, walking very, very slowly with a couple of people. And, you know, we didn't know who it was. We thought it was maybe a fan, and walking like this big stretch along the highway. As it got closer, we realized, oh, fuck, that's Mick Foley. And Mick Foley had just gotten knee surgery or some type of surgery working for WWE. And he literally walked a quarter of a mile on crutches because there was no place to park. He had to park like the building like down the road. And he was there with his family. And he came in and he sat in the car dealership, signed autographs, stood for an extra hour, did not take a penny, didn't take a dime, and gave it all to this military guy. And that vision of watching Mick Foley on crutches walking down Sunrise Highway, you know, and doing what he did for that military, I mean, it was just amazing. Little things like that that's why I say those are memories that it may not be a big deal to a lot of you out there, but, you know, those are awesome times, man. Never take that shit away. So, no, he didn't write that and have a nice day. He definitely didn't write that, but he's done a lot of good deeds. He's done so much that you and I would never even know. The amount of good that guy, even though I disagree with his political views, the amount of good that guy has done, you know, I mean, when people say Saint Mick, you know, he truly at times is, he really is a good person. So. All right, let's wrap this up in about 10 minutes. So I appreciate everybody who, you know, will forgive me this week for screwing up the start time for tonight's show. Again, force of habit, you know, always putting 10:05, 11:05. I accidentally put 10:05. So there are quite a few of you that did not show up at 8:05. Thinking that I'm going to go live at 10:05, and by the time you show up, the show is already over for tonight. But now, a few of you asked me, am I going to do a show next Sunday, Christmas Day? I honestly do not know. My gut feeling says I don't know. Because the thing is, I'm going to see my family Christmas Day. Now, I may see them also Christmas Eve because my wife's brother has COVID, and you know, her mother is not feeling well either. They're still testing positive for COVID. I ain't going to the house Christmas Eve. You want to hear how it's not fucked up, but you want to hear the double whammy for me? Get a load of this. Her mother and father, their birthdays are December 23rd and December 24th. Motherfucker. I have to get not only two Christmas gifts for the parents, I got to get two birthday gifts also. Every Christmas I get hit, you know, it's like, do you want to stab me or shoot me? It's like, I got it in both holes. It sucks, but it is what it is. But if they got COVID, I ain't going anywhere near that house. So if I go to the parents' house Christmas Eve, my parents' house, then I'll probably be here Christmas Day and they can do it. I will know by Friday. So, you know, you look at the channel, check social media, I'm put an announcement in the community section. I'll post it on Patreon, let everyone know as well. I'll know by Friday if I'll be able to do one or not. So, yes, Charlie, you're right. If Christmas is on next Sunday, then this Christmas Eve is the night before. Christmas Eve, I usually go to her parents' house. Christmas Day, I go to my parents' house. If I go to my parents' house Christmas Day, and I'll probably stay over there, and I won't be able to do the show live. But if I go to my parents' house Christmas Eve, then I could stay there overnight, come home Christmas Day. Then I could do the show. So that's why I won't know until Friday. If they're tested positive at that house for COVID still, I ain't going there. John Vickers is saying, can we all come to my house? You don't want to come here for Christmas. I mean, you know, my window is set up with a little bit of Christmas lights, but we got no Christmas tree. I didn't even wrap nothing yet. I ordered from Amazon gift bags. I'm throwing everything in gift bags, shoving a piece of tissue paper on it, and that's it. Merry Christmas. And lots of gift cards, too. Benjamin says, I don't have to do a show on Christmas Day. I know I don't have to. But, you know, by Christmas night, it's 8 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock, everybody is just chilling, relaxing. So, you know, it's casual convo. So we'll see. I know I'm not obligated. I don't have to. We'll see. Chaos says, not his proudest moment, but he took Mr. Sacco from Mick. That's awesome, man. Seriously, the closest, listen, getting hit with the Singapore cane from Sandman was awesome. When he hit me in the head with the Singapore cane and I ran under the ring and I took a shit under the ring, that's a memory that'll stay with me for a lifetime. Mr. Big, I'm willing to give you $500 for that footage. He did the event. If he sees this, I'll give you $500 legit cash for that footage from that night. It's my favorite in-ring moment. For those that don't know, I managed who? Reefer and Homicide, I think it was. And I think it was against Raven and Sandman. I don't remember who all the participants were, but we were in Spanish Harlem. Google the ethnicity of Spanish Harlem. We went to the bodega on the corner store, and I was looking at things to buy just to try to have fun. I was going to get a cigar, light up a cigar, and I saw a bottle of Lysol air freshener. And I said, I got to do it. I took the air freshener. And when we came out for the match, now, obviously, you know, those guys that I was managing, I mean, they were just going along with it because that they were being paid. But I walked around ringside and I sprayed the air in the front row and holding my nose, making it seem like everybody smelled awful. And I thought I was going to create a race riot. I wasn't doing it to be racist. I was just spraying the air to insinuate that they all smelled. After the show was over, you know, I saw a few people that stood, you know, to hopefully meet some of the, you know, the important wrestlers, not me. And I went up to one guy and he said, oh man, a fun show. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I hope you didn't get a face. He's like, no, he's like, no, it's part of it. But when he hit me with the Singapore cane, that was awesome because I was supposed to spray the spray in Sandman's face. And the spray wasn't working. And I'm pressing it and pressing it and pressing it. See, I'm pressing it and nothing's coming out. And I shake it like this. And all of a sudden, I turned around and sprayed my own eyes. And I was blinded.
Super chat.
I don't know what that was, but that was awesome, man. I didn't take a shit under the ring because I was nervous. I had to go. I went under the ring and I stood under the ring for half the match. I was under the ring for 15 minutes. I ran under the ring to be scared. But while I was under there, I started feeling like I had to go. And I looked around the area and I couldn't find anything. And then I found a shopping bag and I literally pulled my pants down and I took a dump under the ring inside the shopping bag. I tied it closed. I think I had maybe like a tissue in my pocket and it was like a rag that they wiped like the ring down with, you know, all the ropes because of the sweat. I took the rag and I wiped my ass. I threw it in the shopping bag and I left it under the ring. It's a true story. True story. Something about me with weird situations with crap, you know? Bodega? No, Bodega is like a, you got to Google it. You got to Google it. It's like a little store that sells like lotto tickets and beer and soda. And maybe like you have like one or two aisles with like some, you know, like if you're like, honey, we ran out of toilet paper and all the supermarkets are closed. Oh, go to the bodega on the boulevard and go buy some there. And you go there and they have like three rolls of toilet paper on their shelf and each roll is like $9. You know, you go there only when you absolutely need to. You got to Google it. So, all right. We're going to jet out of here in 3 or 4 minutes because believe it or not, we've already gone almost 90. So love, love, love the content that you all provided for tonight. Fun. For everyone who is watching this on a replay, remember, you can be part of what we talk about. All you got to do is just show up live, hang out in the chat, post a question or a comment, and we talk about it. And, you know, it's free. And, you know, everybody comes up with some banger conversation, man. And I love being able to tell the old stories. I mean, sometimes these shows, some people come back and like, oh, DT, Sit Down's my favorite show. And I feel good, but then I say to myself, I don't do much preparation for it. I use the same thumbnail every week. This week I made it red, white, and green, more for like the holidays. But, you know, it's like, man, I put in a lot of work for the other shows. I do hours sometimes preparing. I'm like, and here on Sunday, all I'm doing is sitting back with nothing on the paper. And, you know, whatever we talk about, we talk about. Mike, I think the Mets, I said this a couple of weeks ago, I still feel the same way. The Mets are, you know, they're like, what, $75 million luxury tax? The Mets are looking to win in 2023 or 2024. That's it. This is their time. And they are paying big money. And especially now that Francisco Lindor wants Carlos Correa to play third base for the Mets, Jesus, that offense is almost got to feel like 1998 Yankees with better pitching. I mean, even though I'm a Mets fan through and through since 82, the 98 Yankees I fucking loved. I loved the 98 Yankees. I have so many games from that season and the fights and the attitude and everything. The 98 Yankees, as far, if you tell me who's your favorite baseball team that's not the Mets of my entire life, the 98 Yankees. That year was incredible. And they won the World Series. So the Mets, you know, if they pick up Correa and add a little more pitching, and they got to really make sure that seventh, eighth, and ninth inning are taken care of, because the baseball today is not even what it was 10 years ago when it comes to the latter innings. You know, blows my mind to see some pitchers, you know, have an epic night and they only go five. But that's just the way. Again, when we talked at the beginning of the show about Cornette, this is just the change, you know, of the times. And, you know, you don't agree with it, but you got to kind of adapt to it. I think Aaron Judge will go back to the Yankees. I think he does. I really do. Charlie, the kitchen in the Elks Lodge at that time was no longer working. That used to be a gigantic church. And believe me when I tell you, when I say kitchen, you could feed a small town with the size of that kitchen. I mean, it's not like a kitchen like you walk in and there's like a microwave and a stove and a refrigerator. This is a kitchen for like a major hotel. That's how big this kitchen was. So it was a gigantic, I'm sure if you Google, there's probably some photos of what it looked like in the back. But no, that kitchen was massive. All right, I know Chaos has been in that kitchen. Any of you out there that's ever been, and some wrestlers tune into these shows, if you were ever in a kitchen in the Elks Lodge, tell me this is not the best comparison that each and every one of you can relate to. If you ever saw the movie The Shining, do you remember the kitchen when they showed Jack Nicholson in the beginning? Like, here's anything you want. Here it is, all the food. It's probably maybe half the size of that hotel's kitchen, but that's how big this kitchen was. You could feed a fucking small town if they had food. They didn't have food. It was just, you know, wasn't open anymore. So James Campbell says Aaron Judge already resigned. Wait, did they give him like eight years? Like, not $400 million. What was his contract, Judge? I remember it was something like they offered him like $50 million a year or something. It was 40 or 50 million. It had to have been like 40 or 50 million a year, because I know Verlander got $80 million for two. What was his contract? So nine seasons. It was like 40 or 50 million a year. Wasn't it like $400 million or $500 million? 9 years, 360. Okay, 40 million. 9 years, 360. Okay, 40 million. That's crazy, man. That is insane. When I saw Verlander get 40 mil for 2 years, and trust me, I like Verlander. I think he'll do great. Him and Scherzer on the Yankees, I think he'll do great. But I don't know if he's worth 40 million, man. That's fucking a lot. I got this weird vibe about Verlander, man. I hope he kills it. But, you know, my God, $80 million for 2 years. Jesus. All right. We're going to jet out of here. Friends, it's been awesome. Much love. I thank you very much for hanging out tonight. If you enjoyed tonight's show, take a moment, hit that like button. Believe me, it helps. You know, when I see new people signing up, like, hey, you know, your show popped up in my feed, never heard of it before, didn't know that you existed, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, believe it or not, you doing that, posting a comment, you know, subscribing, any little bit helps. It really does. And I really can't thank you enough for all of your support. You know, how we opened up 22 is quite different on how we're closing 2022. But I can honestly say that, you know, we're really closing out 2022 really strong. And I am so looking forward to what 2023 has to offer. You know, just guard down, relaxed, having fun, sharing a few laughs. I kind of embarrass myself once in a while, but as long as everybody is having a good time, that's all these shows are meant to be. Just having a good time, having some combo, you know, getting real and keeping shit real about topics, especially with wrestling, and, you know, just avoiding that clickbait and avoiding the hate. We could complain. You know, there's a lot of things in wrestling that we have every right to criticize. That's much different than just hate and clickbait. And that's something that I will never, ever do. And I hope everybody is having a great time. So, yeah, post a comment. You know, I don't get to respond to every single one of them, but believe me, I do read them all. Trust me. Especially the ones that try to be a little bit snide with their remarks and try to throw in, you know, try to troll. So, believe me, I always make sure to check out everybody's comments. But so I'll be back Monday night, 11:05 p.m. Remember, it'll be the last Raw before Christmas. So we'll see what WWE has in store. And yes, that is Santa Vince. That is Santa Vince. I had to. It was an easy thumbnail. So, all right, everybody, be well. Much love as always. Again, for everybody who tuned in late, expecting a 10 o'clock start time, my apologies. You know, it was just me. I didn't realize that I had the wrong time until literally 2 minutes before showtime. So if you're getting this afterwards, you know, join me. We'll see about next week. Now, I know what some of you were already thinking. Okay, maybe you don't appear next Sunday, Christmas Day, but what about New Year's Day? I absolutely will be here New Year's Day. I don't go out New Year's Eve. Too many crazy drunk people on the road. I definitely not going out New Year's Eve. Will there be a live stream New Year's Eve? Probably. Not sure yet, but probably. I don't see why we can't do one. The last 2 years that we did a New Year's Eve live stream going into midnight, everybody loved it. So, you know, now being able to do this technology a little bit better should be even easier for me to do this year. So we will see. We still got some time to figure it out. But all right, everybody. Much love as always. Be well. Where is my out? I am out.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.